Every entrepreneur has been there.
Growing pains obstacles make you
growth
stronger.
Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
The Company Growth Podcast inspires you to keep going through the pain. I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
Our program is all about moms trusting moms, because that's the reality. When a mom goes out and makes a purchase, she is asking other moms who are at the same stage of life as her for their recommendations. We want to help spread the word through, in our case, all through moms. Moms love talking to moms. I can't even count how many times I've been, you know, in some random place talking to some random person because we were waiting around for something, obviously pre-COVID. And, you know, you leave there with a new friend with 10 new products that they've recommended to you, and you just implicitly trust them because they're at the same stage of life as you, or they've gone through the same experiences, and it just resonates.
Let me introduce Sharon, founder and CEO of Parent Tested, Parent Approved, an awards company that helps parents find products for families that are approved by PTPA's intense vetting process. I started the interview by asking her how she makes a big splash as a small business.
Our business is an awards business, and basically the whole goal was, let's help consumers make better purchasing decisions. So the program's called Parent Tested, Parent Approved, and basically for a company to earn our seal, they need to put their products into the hands of members of our community. We have over 200,000 families in our community. We handpick the target demographic. They test the products, and based on their feedback, we determine if the product earns a seal of approval or not. So I'd love to say that this was a completely original idea, but it actually stems back to a previous business I owned where I had created a baby and toddler product, and I submitted it to an awards program that promised to help me do, you know, anything and everything related to getting that product into the marketplace, including giving me feedback and building awareness. And I remember spending thousands and thousands of dollars and then getting an email saying, congratulations, you won. The feedback on your product is as follows. Consumers thought it was pretty, soft, and they loved the colors. And if you'd like us to post this on our website and share a hyperlink back to your site, there will be an additional charge of X dollars. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, I totally feel like I have been screwed out of thousands of dollars. And the best way to inspire an entrepreneur, I think, is to, you know, try and take advantage of them. So as a result of that program, I sat down. I remember exactly where I was. I was watching my child play at one of those kids' play places, and I was just avidly taking notes on all the things this other program had done poorly and how I was going to create an awards program that was going to be 1,000 times better. So it was actually someone else, you know, that kind of gave me the kick in the butt I needed in order to come up with what I consider this niche business. And ironically, I think 5 years into the business, they actually came to us hoping to sell their assets to us because we had taken over the majority of their market share. So it was one of those really great phone calls.
It's an experience we've all had before, feeling ripped off by a poor customer experience and thinking about the ways that customer experience could be improved. It's sometimes tougher to implement in your own company. In Michael Gerber's E-Myth, he talks about what it's like to be an employee at a company and see all of the ways that a company should be improved, so much so that you go and start your own company, leaving your employer behind. A lot of people have had this thought before and then had their companies crash and burn. This isn't the case with Sharon. Not that she was an employee, but she went to a rising small business success. I wanted to know what it was that made Sharon want to take this thought experiment to the next level and actually build a better rewards company herself.
So basically, what I decided was there must be thousands of brands out there like me who are trying to find a way to get a product into a store, and they just are too tiny. They just don't have the marketing dollars. So what I decided to do was I was going to include, as part of our program, people were going to be able to buy into a co-op ad in a massive national magazine where it might cost them on their own $100,000. But instead, I was going to bundle, you know, 20 products into a beautiful ad and throw that into a Magazine. And I was going to do TV shows where I was going to bring multiple products on air. So somebody didn't have to pay one spokesperson to just talk about their product. It would now be me acting as a spokesperson talking about 10 different products. So all of a sudden, all of these media opportunities that were reserved for the large national brands became much more attainable for these smaller brands. So, and it was building a community, and I was going to be able to take these products that won and introduce them to our community of parents. So it was just creating a much richer program that would have much richer results for the brands participating.
I want to help other people understand that you go through these moments of boom and bust in your company, and that's okay, but how do you level up? What do you do to be like, I need to stabilize my revenue because I'm going to be ready to hire these people and to manage my pipeline? Do you have any insight about managing cash flow and really ramping up when you need to ramp up, or just stabilizing your company growth?
For the last 14 years, I used to joke around that I am probably the cheapest CEO on the planet, because I always believed that you need to have 6 months worth of operating cash in the bank in order to run a successful business and not feel the constant stress of it. So we grew slowly, all based on our revenue growth, never went for outside financing. And I think that served us well, because during COVID, I mean, luckily we were in a position where we did not see a big decline in our sales. In fact, you know, the parent tested, parent approved seal has become that much more relevant. Now the consumers are, you know, they're shopping online, they're having a hard time picking between the hundreds and thousands of products that are out there already.
The truth is, many small businesses don't make it past the first 5 years in operation. But PTPA Awards has not only managed to pass that milestone, but it's also helped other small companies thrive at the same time. So what's the value in sharing resources and opportunities with other small business owners? I asked Sharon to explain what she thought.
That's essentially it. You know, you can do more with many, and you can do it for less for them. So why not pool those resources and try and give everyone an opportunity instead of just those huge brands who have those dollars? Because you know what? Every brand starts somewhere. And there are so many fantastic brands that simply don't have the dollars to get up and running and get in front of the right people. And hopefully through our program, they're able to do so.
You know, social media was meant to also help smaller brands get up and get going, but you guys have incorporated it beautifully. So it's not just about big media campaigns. So talk to me about how social media helped or hurt your business.
Sure. So it was definitely helpful. I think one of the greatest things that we've been able to accomplish is creating what's called our Mom Squad. And basically, in our community of 200,000 families who are registered members, we have a niche group of about 3,000 moms who are so excited about the products that earn our seal that they take on what are called missions. And a mission is something like an image that highlights a whole bunch of products that have won the PTPA seal, and then they go and talk about that on Instagram. So they are this little advertising machine who are so effective, because our program is all about moms trusting moms, because that's the reality. When a mom goes out and makes a purchase, she is asking other moms who are at the same stage of life as her for their recommendations. So imagine, you know, hundreds and hundreds of moms or thousands of moms all going out and talking about a group of products that have earned an award that they recommend. That is incredibly powerful, and it's more powerful than just posting an ad on Instagram or on Facebook where it's a sponsored ad. So it's very different messaging coming from people that you actually trust. So I would say while social media has allowed a lot of businesses an opportunity to advertise themselves at a lower price, it's also allowed us to really enhance how niche our community really is and how niche our business really is.
And I think the thing about social media, the sort of misgivings people have about it, is that you think that because the media is no longer so expensive to purchase, anyone can be successful. And while that might be true, it still takes a lot of effort. And the fact that PTPA has this core group of people who are already engaged and just looking for the products that they can actually trust is still something that is unachievable for most small brands to do on their own.
Right. And you know, I think, you know, social media has been meant to replace more traditional media like television, but there's still that impression. It's similar with social media. You know, if I'm going on TV and I'm talking about a product, very often a brand will say to me, oh, wait, let me make sure I have stocked up my warehouse with thousands and thousands of units because we're going to be on TV. And my answer is always the same. Unless Oprah is talking about your product, you do not need to worry about stocking thousands and thousands of units, because just like social media, TV is a brand awareness exercise. Unless somebody happens to have a direct need for your product at that exact moment in time, they are not running out to buy it. But on the other hand, when they do have a need, they're going to remember that product because it was endorsed by someone, it was talked about by someone they respected. All of these things help build that brand awareness, the brand affinity, and hopefully over time help drive sales. So it doesn't really matter what media you're using to advertise. That's kind of the things that I feel that you can really legitimately expect for any kind of advertising spend.
As a person who's also in the revenue growth business, we get this all the time. It's like, how much does brand awareness contribute on ROI? How do you typically answer that question?
I find it incredibly impossible. That's the honest answer. You know, I have brands who will tell me that they saw a 6 to 8% increase in sales as a result of earning our seal. But those brands have taken our seal of approval, used it on TV commercials, packaging, shelf talkers, digital ads. And then we have clients who come back and say, well, you know, the seal of approval did nothing for me. And then I ask them to send over some of the assets that they leveraged the seal with. And they go, oh, well, we sent out an email about it. Okay, did you use the seal anywhere? No, because we sent out an email about it. Well, if you don't use it, it's not this magical unicorn that is all of a sudden going to sell product for you. It needs to be based on the way you incorporate it into your marketing plans. Nothing is effective all on its own.
In Tangible Works' job post, you'll see that we always list conscientiousness as an asset that an employee will bring to a role. And sometimes you think about companies that you've worked with as a consumer and you wonder, how is that company making any money? I don't feel like they're being conscientious. And that was a situation that we set out to always work on at Tangible Works. And it's something that I know PTPA Awards really cares about. So I asked Sharon how important she thought it was to be a conscientious company helping other parents like herself.
As small businesses, we want to make sure twofold. Number one, that we are giving back to the communities in which we live. And number two, that the brands that are trusting us with their brands, we're doing a little bit something extra so that we are exceeding expectations. So for example, right before this call, I had a call with a startup company whose whole story is all around the fact that they want to be able to purchase ethically clothing that they feel is high quality and doesn't require you to purchase 30 items, but you can take 8 items and make 30 outfits out of it. So they are stuck on this dream. They want to do it at the most cost-effective price. And, you know, I hear their story and I can't help but say, okay, so yes, you can do our program, but I'm going to throw in a couple of extra things because I really believe in the mission statement and the values. And I think that you're the kind of company I want to get in front of our consumer audience. Yes, I think there's always that opportunity to do more and be more.
Small business owners are often asked to do Superman acts of success, and they're rarely celebrated. There's not often a big dance and pony show for the small business owner. We don't often get to celebrate individually with our customers, and it's something that we've earmarked at Tangible Words to start looking at all of the ways that we've grown, to practice gratitude and to celebrate those milestones. And I think everyone needs to do it more. I think in your experience, the whole prompt for your company is that people really do value good products and things that they can actually trust.
Well, so from the consumer side, absolutely. But I will absolutely say we go above and beyond with a lot of our customers, and very often we'll sit there and go, none of them actually responded to the fact that we just did all of that extra work for them at absolutely no charge just to exceed expectations. So yeah, sometimes you kind of feel like, I wonder whether that was all worth it. But you know, there are going to be those times where someone appreciates it above and beyond, and you know you've made an impact and it's the best possible feeling. So we keep doing it. You know, not everyone's going to, you know, show the love. But you hope that the ones that do truly get value out of the extra things that you're doing.
That's so crazy, though. Like that, you know, you're feeling it as a company. You know it's taking so many more resources to go above and beyond. But it's really hard to capture that value and to really communicate the cost of that thing you just did for free when you're not talking about price with your customer. So have you found a way through that to really track it and to really communicate to them that we just did this extra stuff that cost us money and time?
Well, what we have done is, so we went through two iterations of this. When we realized that they just weren't valuing it, we started sending reports, detailed reports saying, hey, you know, above and beyond what you contracted us for, we've also done X, Y, and Z. And then if we didn't get a response from that, we started analyzing, okay, well, are they just not seeing the value? We'd try following up. We wouldn't get answers. Mm-hmm. So what we've actually done now is we have taken out a lot of those extra value adds out of our packages because we realized, you know, it's a lot of manpower. It's a lot of stress on the team. And I feel like it has an impact on team morale when they put all this effort and it's not being appreciated, it's not being leveraged, so they don't get that internal validation. So we've actually started taking out some of the value adds, and the customers that do appreciate it, those we're willing to go the extra mile for.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that we've really struggled with as a trying to be conscientious, trying to exceed expectations, but also trying to be profitable, mean, lean and profitable. It's been a journey of trying to communicate the value that you're doing on things when, you know, the customer isn't the one who priced it out. So you really do need to communicate it in some way. So reporting is a takeaway there, as well as showcasing them the value and even maybe just scaling back a little bit and doing it sometimes instead of all the time.
Yeah, and it depends on the type of relationship you have with the client. If it's someone you're trying to establish a longer term relationship with, then absolutely, you know, throw in those extra things, because in the long term, it'll win you more business. That is the reality of it. But if it's kind of a one-hit wonder and they're not showing any interest and they're not showing like there's any appreciation, then, you know, you have to consider how your team is going to feel from all those extra hours if there's absolutely no, you know, pat on the back, proverbial pat on the back as a result of all that hard work. And you know what? It's funny because, you know, everybody knows what is considered a unicorn in the marketplace, and everybody launches a business hoping to be that unicorn. I truly think that companies like ours, you know, we've been around for 14 years, have been profitable for almost all of those years. To me, that is a true unicorn. Haven't gone out for VC financing, debt-free organization. To me, that is my proudest accomplishment because I haven't relied on anybody else's dollars. I'm not pressured by anybody else's expectations. So I think, you know, the marketplace is hopefully going to shift their opinion of what a unicorn is, because there's so few and far between, and really start focusing in on the businesses that are able to last as long as, you know, a lot of our small businesses are lasting and how they're contributing to the economy.
Unicorns. We might be hearing about unicorns too often in the business world right now. Every tech giant is told by their funder that they need to reach unicorn growth level. And frankly, what it comes down to, in my experience as being a growth department for a lot of other companies at Tangible Words as we are, is everybody's always looking for that magic bullet, and that's just not how it works. You have to leverage your assets. You have to be on multiple channels. Some of the things that were true about marketing 40 years ago are still true today. Visibility in multiple spots, allowing your customer to come in through multiple journeys, allowing them to have a touch point on social media, as well as email, as well as to see your product on the shelf, as well as, dare I say it, remarketing with paid media. There's a whole bunch of stuff you need to do to leverage in order to be successful with your marketing. And while the belief in unicorns is happy and does make me think of rainbows, I think we also need to steady and think it's not always all about lead generation on digital media. Sometimes it's doing really smart things to drive your revenue growth, like fix your customer retention issue, or to look at how you can get more money out of your existing customers. And I think we need to do more of that. When you talk about growth and revenue, we're talking about growth. We're not just talking about getting net new growth from net new leads who may or may not close. I think that's just chasing unicorns.
To learn more about Parent Tested, Parent Approved, or to see if your product can earn the PTPA Seal of Approval, visit ptpa.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/companygrowthpodcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growth pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.